The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
We got to raise our standard when it comes to the word legend. Eric Gordon was very good for the Houston Rockets. Great even at times. He's not a legend. He is not a Rockets legend. He's someone that I hope is a part of the organization down the road as far as being remembered for being a part of what probably is the third best team in Rockets history, unless you want to count the 86 Rockets that played in the finals against that dreadnought of a Boston Celtics team with Larry Bird and like Bill Walton's coming off the bleeping bench, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I could go on all day about that team. I've watched so many videos about it. I wasn't even alive for it, just obsessed with that team. But, I mean, he's not in the same conversation as Dwight Howard, even Chris Paul, Calvin Murphy, Rudy T. Like those are, I think, stronger cases for Rockets legends. Rudy T obviously is one. Some people have suggested like Chuck Hayes. Yeah, he maximizes his ability out there. You've got
Rafer Alston.
Rafer Alston, hell yeah. Skip to my Lou. Vaughn Wafer.
This is my wheelhouse right here. It's just
random Rockets
from 2008.
Hey, how about some guys? Sam Cassell.
Stromile Swift.
Vernon Maxwell has some comments. Brad Miller. Was he on the Rockets?
He was.
Matt Bullard.
David Wesley.
Samuel Dalembert. That whole entire 2011 Rockets team. Kyle Lowry. Goran Dragic, actually, like I'd buy a Goran Dragic Rockets jersey, like a throwback one. Well, they brought the ketchup and mustard back finally. Luis Scola. When I first started watching and covering this team, he was their best player.
Yeah,
Maury deserves more credit from getting them from there to having James Harden and Dwight Howard, James Harden and Chris Paul. I know people don't like him. He's kind of insufferable, but I mean, he did a damn good job with that team
without ever like tanking. The worst they were like 40 and 42.
And that's why I respect Les Alexander so much and why he was totally allowed to take the Larry O'Brien trophies home when he gave the keys to Tillman Fertitta to the Rockets. What are we doing here, Houston Astros? What are we doing here? So the Astros beat Kyle Tucker in arbitration on Thursday. He's going to make $5 million instead of $7.5 million next year. The $2.5 million gap was one of the largest gaps between teams among the 33 players who went into arbitration over the course of the past week. But was this really worth fighting over? Seriously, was this worth fighting over? I say no. Maybe there won't be sour feelings. Maybe Kyle Tucker will get an extension. I do not see the victory, though, in going to arbitration over $2.5 million when you're the defending World Series champions. It's the kind of stuff that you could interpret as penny pinching, and it's also the kind of stuff, if you're Kyle Tucker, you could interpret as a slap across the face to the point where you're not going to sign an extension with the Houston Astros. So that's a story that obviously will continue to develop. But Dana Brown did, I guess, a media availability yesterday and had some really interesting things to say about his strategy as a general manager. And I want to know if you actually believe him. Do you think that Dana Brown can successfully push back against Jim Crane? Here is what Brown had to say of the dynamic between he and Jim Crane. It's a new relationship. He calls it, quote, a perfect storm. We're going to push back with each other. And I'm sure that is what Brown sold Crane on during the interview, because I think he didn't feel that James Click did that enough, but Jeff Luhnow did. I respect Jim totally for that, because I know there are long-term deals that go off the cliff. Long-term deals. Interesting. We don't hear about that a lot with the Astros. I think Josh Reddick was the guy outside of the team that got the longest deal. It was 4 years. We'll try to avoid that at all costs because we want to try to get to know the makeup of the player. We have to make projections on the player's ability too. I think Jim and I are going to meet somewhere in the middle. I'm more on the aggressive side of signing players. He may be more on the conservative side, but he's very open to getting these players signed. So I think he's talking about just regular free agents, but I also more so think he's talking about players in-house. And look, I don't know that Jim Crane's really that open to getting these players signed. They didn't resign George Springer, who was the heart and soul of that clubhouse. Any player in that clubhouse would have told you that. They did not resign Carlos Correa. They let Gerrit Cole walk. Like, they have not really seemed like a team that's even proactive when it comes to keeping players like this. They might imply that they are through the media, but that's every team in baseball. Oh, yeah, we were so close to signing this free agent. Oh, here's the offer that we proposed as an extension. Sometimes they're fair, but it's done for a reason. It's done to make it seem like that team is doing its due diligence. Do you believe that Dana Brown would successfully push back against Jim Crane? I'm having a hard time with it because I don't think it's just Jim Crane. I think it's Jeff Bagwell. I think it's everybody else that's in that group. But maybe that's why Jim Crane hired him. Somebody who will actually push back against them. Someone who's argumentative. It's not always good to have an argumentative situation, but I also don't think it's always a bad thing. The other question I have about Dana Brown before we go out to the phone lines at 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. Do you believe that the Astros should go out of their way to keep players long-term? Because they haven't done it, and it's worked for them. Part of that has to do with the fact that they've done a damn good job scouting. They got guys like Yordan Alvarez. They've also found pitchers like, obviously, Christian Javier and Framber Valdez and Luis Garcia and Jose Urquidy. They've done a really good job as far as like finding guys, especially in the Caribbean. But you don't know that that's going to continue. And supposedly, the Astros farm system is one of the worst in baseball. So do you go out of your way with that in mind to keep players long-term? Now, here's what Dana Brown had to say about that. One of the things you guys will find out is that I'm going to be aggressive, using the A word a lot. You have to evaluate players and you have to say to yourself, do I see this player as part of the franchise and can he make a difference? Once you make that decision, I think you owe it to the fan base to try to go after them, to lock the player up so your players are not walking out the door and your team falls off a cliff. You owe it to the fan base. I remember people pushed back when I said like there's an element of fan service to hiring D'Amico Ryans by the Houston Texans. That's not the only reason they made the hire. He's also qualified for the job. But re-signing players who are great, like I'll put my hand up. I thought that letting Correa walk was going to be a massive mistake. Ended up being the right decision. And they've let so many players walk and have been able to replace them. I don't know if I want a guy that's super aggressive on that front, because they haven't needed to be aggressive in the past. Continues Dana Brown, I hate to see good players walk out the door. You know, good players become like family, and it's heartbreaking even for the fans. Brings up the fans again. I know the fans, interesting, so much fan talk, feel like it's heartbreaking to watch good players walk out the door. You can bet that at the end of the day, I will be on top of that. I think that's very important. So I'll try to make sure we lock up some of these players. You have to put the fan base first, and you have to go after these players, and you have to try to sign them. My God, talk about the fan base some more, Dana Brown. Jeez. I don't like hearing this. I don't. Like, some of these things are platitudes, and it's one thing to say them, and it's another thing to actually execute them. But I don't know if I want the Astros to change their stripes, if you will. I'm cool with the Oxy logo on the side of the jersey. It's not big enough, in my opinion. Maybe make it blue and orange or something like that. But on this side of things, all of a sudden saying, hey, we're going to try harder to keep players here long-term, like Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman, whose contracts are coming up. I'm not saying let those guys walk, but I don't know. This is treading into dangerous waters on that front. 713-780-3776 to call, to text as well. We're still getting some funny suggestions about Houston Rockets legends. World Be Free, Purvis Short. Is that what Ron Artest's name is now, World Be Free? Or is that...
No, he's Meta World Peace.
Is he still Meta World Peace?
Actually, he might have changed it again, but yeah, he was Meta World Peace.
Because, yeah, he... Look, Rockets legend. Pena just got a thought on Dana Brown, new general manager of the Houston Astros. Pena, what's up?
What's going on, Paul?
Yo.
So, eventually, you got to pay somebody, man. You just can't let everybody, anybody walk. I've said this before. I've said this plenty of times. With the ship going away, I really, really, really think that Tucker is MVP caliber player, you know? He's like, what, top three, one of the most shifted players in the league besides Joey Gallo, and I can't remember who else, but I really think he's MVP caliber. He's gonna win it sometime. I really believe that before Yordan. I love Yordan, but I think I think Tucker's a little bit better, honestly. And thank you. Have a great day.
Appreciate the phone call, Pena. I thought Pena said the S word instead of shift. I did. Listen.
No, MLB got that shift out of here.
They got that shift out. Man, I hate that shift. It's the worst. Yeah, I thought I heard that for a second. I got totally distracted in the middle of the call. Tucker is somebody that seems to have a lot of potential, and I don't understand what they were doing. It's a weird game to play hardball over. You know, I would like to see them extend Kyle Tucker if they can, but at the same time, too, I'm hesitant because they've been able to make it work without doing it in the past. Pena's writing that eventually you do have to pay somebody. Is Kyle Tucker the one to pay? And I suppose at least he's had a better record of health than George Springer has. That was always a big problem with George Springer. And, you know, with Carlos Correa, too. Apparently, he does not have an ankle for doctors. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text it as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Coming up next, we got to have a little talking to with the New York Yankees. They just cannot stop. They shut your bleeping mouths. Another episode of Keeping That Same Energy. Don't go anywhere.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
You would think that the New York Yankees would just stop talking about the Houston Astros, and yet they keep doing it. It's very strange to me. 0-4 in playoff series, 2-5 against them last year, with both of the wins being walk-offs. Michael King is a pitcher for the New York Yankees, and in a podcast, he had this to say about the Astros and whether or not Houston would have beaten New York, I guess in the middle of last season when New York was playing their best.
I think that if we face the Astros when we were rolling in those May, June, July months, I think it's not even close. Like, we were by far the best team of baseball. We hit a little bit of injury. We had a trade deadline, I think, kind of just like threw off the locker room a little bit. But if it's all together, I think this team's unbelievable. And there's no chance that an Astros team could stop us when we're rolling. And I never want to make the excuses of injuries, because obviously every team goes through it. But unfortunately, we just had some issues that made it so we weren't at full strength. And the Astros obviously have a ton of talent, and we're rolling at that time. So, like, you did not want to face that Astros team. Ultimately, obviously, winning the World Series, that's what happens when you have the talent and the chemistry going on your side.
It's funny hearing him talk, because he discusses the Yankees in the middle of last year. And there was a point during the year where they looked really good. But as the season progressed, they stopped being that same team. They had some real offensive issues down the stretch. And I know going into the postseason that injuries were discussed for New York, and it was discussed after said series as well. I think it was Steinbrenner who had brought up that, yeah, well, I mean, we weren't at 100% going up against the Astros, and some of the same stuff from Brian Cashman and Luis Severino. Like, there's a long list of Yankees who have had weird things to say about the Astros. But this was an interesting clip from Michael King, the Yankees pitcher, because he starts off really confident. He continues really confident. And then at the end, he's like, well, I mean, they do beat us a lot. And it's as if he said something to somebody who was sitting down. Like, he's like, you're a bitch. And then the guy stood up, and he's like 6'7". It felt like that if you hear that clip in totality. He mentions the Yankees, how hot they were at one point in the year, too. They did not have a very difficult schedule in the first half of the year. They really didn't. And it was one of the reasons that I tweeted out on July 7th that the Astros would overtake New York by the end of the year. It took them a month. And you could say it was injuries, but the second half of the year, going into it, New York played 40 teams with a record of 500 or greater. The Astros had just 21 games against teams of 500 or greater. So maybe that's why the Astros caught up. And when the Yankees' schedule got more difficult, they stopped playing as well. And I've don't get why the Yankees continue to say anything. Just close your mouth, right? There's a certain point where you've just got to accept the fact that the Astros are the better team. They are. If you ever beat them, great. But it's all about what you do in the postseason. So until next October, unless the Yankees are standing over the dead Astros, like, you got to just stop with this. I did get a text, 713-780-3776, and also on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. This text, a strange one. Oh, yeah, Yankees all over my face, Yankees. I'm so jealous of you, Yankees. You're going to have to hop off that D at some point. Wow. Okay. I'm assuming that you feel like I talk about the Yankees because I have an inferiority complex or something like that. Huh.
Can you read it one more time, please?
I don't know if I can say the last part.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yankees. All over my face, Yankees. I'm so jealous of you, Yankees. You're going to isolate that as a drop and use it against me now?
Yep.
Damn it.
I just wanted two takes, you know.
Didn't think that went through.
For safety, yeah.
Do you want me to add a little gusto to it? We could do it one more time?
Sure.
No, I'm not going to. I can't do
also,
that.
Also, I just looked up the when the Astros played the Yankees. They played them in June. So, like, when was this time? That's the time where the Astros won, what was it, 5 out of 7 mm-hmm. against them?
Right.
And then the only two wins for the Yankees were walk-off
They're
wins.
They're walk-offs!
The Astros literally never trailed.
Not once!
Yankees.
Not once!
And it's... so, if they played the World Series in May, they would have won. Like, I guess. I don't really understand.
But even then, like, sure, you did well against a lot of teams in baseball, but... I think one of the things that baseball players, for whatever reason, have a hard time doing is looking at this through an NFL prism or a college football prism. Certain games matter way more than others. I'm of the belief that there are many series over the course of a baseball season that don't matter a bleeping damn. Yeah, maybe for total statistics or just for having a fun night out, but most of the 162 games in baseball are completely meaningless, right? Especially when you're going up against teams that are at a very lower tier. In baseball, I mean, the haves are so much better than the have-nots. The Yankees were beating up on a bunch of teams that were have-nots over the course of the year. And sure, the American League East had a scrappier Baltimore team than in years past, a good Blue Jays team, a good Tampa Bay Rays team. But those teams aren't on the same caliber in the American League as them. The National League is significantly more competitive. For the Yankees, the true measuring stick for who they are, much like it is for the Astros in the American League, are games between those two teams. They're still the two best teams in the American League. And if you're not doing well in those games, it does not matter what you do in any of the other ones. And it's strange that the Yankees can't get that into their heads after so many times getting knocked down. Okay, Chumbawamba, like at a certain point, the song ends and you realize that I just keep on getting knocked down over and over again for a reason. It's because the Astros are better than you. 713-780-3776 to call in. To text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You could tweet me as well at Kalan Says. Coming up next, the prop bets of Super Bowl 57. These are hilarious. There is one that involves cleavage. There is another that involves a famous actor, and I have no idea why it's been proposed to the point that I feel like it actually might be happening. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. In the last segment, we had a texter say, "Oh yeah, Yankees all over my face, Yankees. I'm so jealous of you, Yankees. You're going to have to hop off that, you know what," at some point, wrote this texter. Another texter says, "You talk about the Yankees plenty, LOL. Come on now. Literally talk about them every time you talk about baseball. Literally every time." Well, we did have a segment called Yankees Watch. We also had a segment called Mariners Watch. because I correctly said that those were the two greatest threats to the Houston Astros going into last season. Huh? They played both of them in the, both of them in the playoffs. Wow. Does the baseball guy know baseball or what? Look, as far as talking about compelling things over the course of a 162-game season, the game-to-game minutia does not really do anything for me. We will talk a lot of Astros over the course of this year, but we're going to do it in a fun way, and we're also going to keep an eye on those two teams over the course of the season, because talking about those teams and the eventual playoff matchup is what this is all about. Like, I'm here for the playoffs, guys. And I do think that, much like with Patrick Mahomes, maybe I need to be a little bit better about appreciating the Astros in the moment every single regular season. But generally, with this team, like, what questions are you asking about them? What is the, like, compelling conversation about this team? I think generally it has to do with the fact that they still own the Yankees and that they need to make sure that they still own the Mariners going into this year. That's how I view baseball talk. Everyone has their own style. Oh, yeah, Yankees all over my face, Yankees. I think the most recent version I did of it, Sean, is probably going to be the better Yankee drop. Don't you think?
Yeah, but there's music underneath it, and Mike, you know, sounds
maybe
a little weird.
Maybe Yankees Watch 2023 will use that as their little
sound. Oh, yeah, effect. All over my face.
Yeah. We should do it with a New York accent or something like that. All right, guys, Super Bowl 57's on Sunday. It's the Chiefs. It's the Eagles. The Eagles are 1.5-point favorites. I'm wearing green and white today because the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, are going to win. I think it'll be a close game, but I feel like it's going to be Patrick Mahomes carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders for Kansas City. I think he will be able to do some things offensively, but Philadelphia's pass rush is a monster. Kansas City's offensive line is better than the last time Mahomes was in a Super Bowl against the Bucks, but I don't know if it's enough to stop the waves of defenders. Really, if the Chiefs win, Isaiah Pacheco is probably going to be at least in the conversation for MVP. He has to have a big day running the football and maybe catching passes out of the backfield, but most likely the MVP is going to be one of those two quarterbacks. I think the real one concern with the Eagles and Jalen Hurts is the shoulder. How good is the shoulder? He hasn't, I guess the Giants, the Eagles looked like they were, you know, going up against a small child, but against the 49ers, things were a little bit more difficult. Kansas City's defense is somewhere in between New York's and San Francisco's. Will Jalen Hurts have some of those same issues? Kansas City's a good team. I feel like we have maybe besmirch them a little bit too much when it comes to everyone not named Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, Chris Jones was the best defensive tackle in the NFL this year. But is Chris Jones going to win in a matchup against the Eagles offensive line, who have probably the best in the game? I'm having a hard time with it. So I think that Philadelphia is going to win this one. Channelview's very own Jalen Hurts will take home his first Super Bowl. As far as the actual MVP, you want to play some odds here. Okay. Plus 120 for Patrick Mahomes to win MVP. Jalen Hurts is plus 125. That's not the fun play, though. You want to make a play where you can actually get something back in return. Travis Kelce is next at plus 1,200. You could see that happening. Wide receiver A.J. Brown at plus 1,800. Eagles running back Miles Sanders is at plus 2,200. I don't know about that one. I feel like Pacheco should be higher. Looking this up really quickly, but the other ones, Hassan Reddick at plus 3,000 to win MVP. I mean, see how many sacks he had this past season? He gets two or three sacks. Is he going to be in the conversation if the Eagles offense doesn't do a whole lot? I think so. Like, that would probably be the play. If you were forcing me to make a play, I would play the long one every single time. And I'm going to go with Hassan Reddick just for fun. Probably going to be one of the quarterbacks. I'm trying to figure out what Pacheco's odds are to win the MVP. It says that he has the third best odds among Kansas City Chiefs players and the eighth best odds. If you think Kansas City is going to win, I think he's the play. Where's the odds to win MVP? My goodness, it's just like the over-under rusher.
See, I think if you think Kansas City is going to win, you just parlay the win with Patrick Mahomes winning MVP. Because I feel like there's
that
no,
makes sense.
I feel
yeah.
like there's no way that they win that isn't a Patrick Mahomes like 300 yards, five touchdowns.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Or
you're,
four touchdowns.
You're probably right. So those are the like prop bets that actually have to do with football. But the fun prop bets are amazing. The first one, I can't believe this is real. It's glorious. Will Rihanna show cleavage during the Super Bowl halftime show? Yes, minus 215. No, plus 155. I mean, it's the Super Bowl halftime show, and you're a lady. You're not showing cleavage, especially with Jennifer Lopez and Shakira shaking their thangs a couple of years ago? Come on. No, the sex appeal is what sells, baby. Rihanna's going to do it.
I feel like every act, there's cleavage.
It got to be a
like,
little.
Like, Dr. Dre didn't do it last year, but
50 Cent did.
50 Cent was shirtless.
There was no cleavage.
Oh,
there
no,
was,
wait. He had a bulletproof vest on, actually, I think.
Was there cleavage? No.
On the bulletproof vest.
Because I remember him doing, like, the like sit-ups, and it was like, oh, man, like I don't know if you should go
yeah.
shirtless, homie.
But even, like, when Maroon 5 did the Adam Levine was shirtless.
Yeah.
There's always, they give, you know.
Adam Levine's the worst, as is Maroon 5. It's just a terrible band.
Wow.
What? It is, objectively.
No, I'm not.
Gonna get you back.
During that halftime show.
What?
I was like, oh, these are all the songs that play like when you're out shopping like at
yes.
a mall or at H&M
yes.
or something. Like, oh, okay. That's where I know Maroon 5.
Yep. Other things that you can gamble on. How many TikTok videos will Jackson Mahomes post during the Super Bowl? Over 1.5, plus 200. Under 1.5, minus 275. Over! Are you kidding me? He'll do one walking into the stadium. He'll do one in the suite. And he'll do one after the game, too. Three. Lock.
Especially if you think the Chiefs are going to win. This
yeah.
is so stupid that I'm thinking about like this. But if they're like up 21-10, boom, he's firing one off.
This is definitely one to add into a parlay if you think the Chiefs are going to win. No doubt about
it. The Mahomes-Chiefs parlay. The Chiefs to win. Mahomes to win MVP. Mahomes to TikTok 1.5 times. Over.
What team apparel will Drake wear on Super Bowl Sunday? KC minus 350. Philly plus 245. If he wears Philly, he will be bullied. There's no chance that he has the balls to wear Philadelphia Eagles gear. And plus, as someone who is the kind of bandwagon jumper who only jumps on when it's a sure thing bandwagon, it's going to be a Mahomes jersey. Definitely. It would be really funny if he wore a Travis Kelce jersey. Would it not?
Or Jason Kelce.
Jason Kelce. Oh, yeah, 69, isn't it?
No, he's 62.
62, damn.
I forgot who's 60.
Yeah,
they have a 69.
Nice. That's cool. Other prop bets for the Super Bowl. This one is completely goofy to the point where the fact that it's on the board makes me wonder if it's going to happen. It would be maybe the best possible way to promote the upcoming Mission Impossible. What are they, Judgment Day or something like that? It's a two-part movie that's coming out, and it's sort of implying the end, which is clearly not. Make money as long as you can. The last Mission Impossible Fallout was probably the best one.
Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Dead Reckoning Part 1.
July
okay.
14th.
July 14th. I'm not going to lie.
Tickets available now.
That will be a good movie.
It will. I'll be first in line.
Every single Mission Impossible post Mission Impossible 2 has been pretty damn good. Will Tom Cruise parachute into the stadium and hand deliver the game ball to the referees? Yes, plus 2,500. No, minus 15,000. So, I mean, you got to gamble a lot of money if you're saying no. But I'm not going to lie. Plus 2,500, that's not that long of an odd. I mean, Hassan Reddick is less likely to win Super Bowl MVP than Tom Cruise is to parachute into the stadium and hand deliver the game ball. I kind of want to gamble on that. I hope that happens. That would honestly be the coolest thing that ever happens in a Super Bowl. and would add to Tom Cruise's legacy. The problem is, this is a stadium with a roof.
I was about to ask, is it a retractable dome? Oh, man.
I think
State
it is.
Farm, was it State Farm Field or something?
I think it is. This is the time of year where it actually is nice in Arizona. Yes, it does open. It does open.
Huh. But can they open it, have them deliver, and then close it? Or will they play with it open?
I think they'd play with it open. I mean, it's nice weather in Arizona, especially at night in February. Man, this is interesting.
Is it Scottsdale?
Glendale, Arizona. Yeah, well, check the weather for Glendale, Arizona, and wind conditions. In the meantime, I'll read a couple more prop bets. This seems to be fat-shaming Andy Reid. Will Andy Reid eat a cheeseburger before the end of the Super Bowl broadcast? Yes, plus 250. No, minus 1900. Damn, like, so he, it's like a lock. It's a lock that he won't. Honestly, I feel like in the Super Bowl celebration, someone might hand him one from the stadium. Andy Reid special. Will the words burger or cheeseburger be said by Andy Reid during the post-game interview? Yes, plus 175.
100%.
No, minus 240. Yeah, you got to take the yes on that.
Whatever. Kevin Burkhart or whoever that'll be the last question that he gets before. Now, let me talk to Patrick Mahomes. By the way, 75%. Or not 75. 75 degrees, 10% precipitation on Sunday around 5 p.m. So it we're in the window for a
Tom
parachute.
Cruise paradrop.
Yes.
This needs to happen. I need this.
I'll be disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Yeah, I will be too. I'm kind of expecting it now. Although that would make it maybe lose some of the surprise. Maybe I saw something, like I saw a spoiler that I didn't want to see. Will Andy Reid wear Hawaiian shirt during the Super Bowl? No, negative 15,000. Yes, plus 1,600. What, you could get a Chiefs NFL brand Hawaiian shirt?
The thing is, you can't wear it, like, to start the game. You can't.
Why not?
Because you can't lose the Super Bowl while wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Yes, you can.
I feel like you'd get made fun of
whatever, you got fashion.
Insanely.
Some people are cowards and they can't handle it. I wear Hawaiian shirts all the time.
Yeah, but you don't coach in the Super Bowl.
What if I did coach in the Super Bowl? I would definitely wear a team brand Hawaiian shirt. It's comfy.
No, you would wear whatever throwback jersey for you.
No, I wouldn't do that. No.
You'd be wearing a...
I'm not a player.
You'd be... No, but you would be wearing like a...
Oh, the throwback gear or something
like
that?
Yeah, you'd be wearing like a...
Like a throwback... Oilers starter jacket.
Medium.
As the head coach of the Houston Texans? Yes. Yeah, that would be pretty funny.
And you get fined or whatever. You get a cease and desist from the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Then like all of a sudden, Homage is like not allowed to make those starter brand jackets anymore. Yeah, that would be pretty funny. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text as well. On the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, you can tweet me at Galan Says. Who's got more bulletin board material for this game? And I want to determine whether or not this actually classifies as bulletin board material, which I believe has jumped the shark over the last couple of weeks in the NFL. But some things have been said, both by Philadelphia and by Kansas City. You'll find out what they are next.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Super Bowl 57 Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. The Philadelphia Eagles, the Kansas City Chiefs. I do think the Eagles are going to win. I also think that bulletin board material officially jumped the shark in the NFL this postseason. It started with the Cincinnati Bengals being absolutely livid about the idea that the AFC North could have been determined by a coin toss between them and the Ravens. They used that the first round of the playoffs. Second round of the playoffs, the Bengals were incensed by the idea that the AFC Championship game could be played at a neutral site between the Bills and the Chiefs, and that tickets had already been sold in advance. But then, in the AFC Championship game, the Chiefs claimed that the idea that Arrowhead Stadium is Burrowhead Stadium was enough to motivate them to win the bleeping AFC Championship game. All of this is stupid, right? People are going to find ways to motivate themselves, but ultimately it doesn't matter once the actual game itself starts. And I'd imagine that's the same case with a Super Bowl. There's going to be so many jitters from every single player as this game begins. The adrenaline, once it wears off, I think it's more about how do you find a way to get that adrenaline back. Going to pull a Seattle Seahawks, get a little Adderall on the sideline or something like that? I don't know. It's low-grade meth. Hey. But that's neither here nor there. Let's get back to bulletin board material. I want to know, in a world where bulletin board material has jumped the shark, if these qualify as bulletin board material. If you're a Kansas City Chief, would you be pissed off hearing Nick Sirianni say this about Philadelphia?
You know, you want your fans to love it. You want your fans to be there. You want them to be wearing green on Friday. You want them to be wearing green on Saturday. You want them to be throwing snowballs at Santa Claus. You want that because that's what we want. We want to be able to put our, you know, our talents on display. And we're able to do that in the greatest sports town in America.
The greatest sports town in America? I bet the Kansas City Chiefs are looking at that right now and thinking to themselves, no, we're the greatest sports town in America. Don't you know that we have Midwestern values and we do things the right way? We wouldn't throw a snowball at a small child or punt a elderly person down a flight of stairs at Veterans Stadium or boo Santa Claus and cheer Michael Irvin when he might have been paralyzed on the field. We don't do that. We're classy. I bet Chiefs fans are incensed by this, and therefore the Chiefs will be motivated by this. But the Eagles might be motivated by something else entirely. Noted TikTok star, who also plays in the NFL, Juju Smith-Schuster, had this to say about Philadelphia's staple food.
Honestly, I think the best Philly cheesesteaks are not in Philly, to be honest. Me? Huh? Definitely not Philly.
Damn. I mean, I thought that the Chiefs were going to have the advantage. I mean, Kansas City, it's the best sports town in America. But when you go after the cheesesteaks of Philadelphia, you've gone too far, Juju Smith-Schuster. Got to say, too, I am a big fan of Philly cheesesteaks, though I do say don't have the cheese on it. The difference with a Philadelphia steak sandwich, cheesesteak, is not the cheese whiz, which, by the way, don't do it with the cheese whiz. Even if you do like cheese, disgusting. You want to do it with Philadelphia steak sandwiches because generally the meat isn't all chopped up. Like they're using like pretty good pieces of meat. And I'm not saying like that it's, you know, like steak tip sandwich or something like that. But they aren't, it isn't so shredded like you're generally going to have at most places. It's almost like pulled beef at most places that you go, and like not even in really a good way. But I do think Philadelphia does it better, and I do think that Northeastern bread generally is awesome. So I disagree with the steak by Juju Smith-Schuster, and now all of a sudden I'm starving. I would love to have a steak sandwich right now. Oh, my God. All right, it's that time of the show, guys. You have to determine for yourself who's got more bulletin board material based off of that, but let's hit a little garbage time before we get out the get out the word.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
Just a stuttering Stanley.
No.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, guys. In garbage time, we're going to begin with this story. So, Chiefs fans are upset that the Chiefsaholic, a bank robber who's robbed a bunch of banks while like visiting towns where the Chiefs are playing, made bail before the Super Bowl because the Chiefs were undefeated while he was in bail. And I'm assuming he's going to go to said Super Bowl. It'll probably be the last thing that he does. I'm surprised that they gave him bail, though. Because if he goes to this Super Bowl, maybe there's some sort of situation where he's not allowed to leave the state. But if he goes to this Super Bowl or tries to go to this Super Bowl, like, isn't the understanding that he's probably trying to rob a bank literally as I speak in Phoenix right now? Like, isn't that the obvious thing that's going to happen? I don't know. That's at least what I feel. It's not like, well, Kansas City. I'm going to guess Kansas City is about a 24-hour drive to Phoenix. Who knows? Anyway, Chiefs fans are mad that he's out because it's bad luck. It was good luck while he was in jail. The superstitious things that we believe. There's a movie coming out about Phil Knight, the founder of Nike. Guess who's in it? Ben Affleck plays Phil Knight. Matt Damon's in it. Viola Davis plays Michael Jordan's mom. Jason Bateman's in it. Any interest in that movie? Sean Mapes and I watched the trailer. We have also watched the trailer for Fast and Furious 10. Not the same, obviously. That's like one of the greatest franchises of all time.
I'll be there opening night for Fast X.
Honestly, we might need to do a separate show that we post on the podcast that's just us talking about Fast and Furious X. I'll go with you opening night.
We could do a 10-part podcast talking about all the other Fast and Furious movies.
You know what? I kind of want to do a 10-part podcast about all the other Fast and Furious shows. But would you watch this movie?
Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to.
Is it zero interest? Is it in theaters or on Netflix?
It's going to be in theaters. I mean, look at the star-studded cast. That thing's going straight to theaters. I have zero interest to watch a sports movie about the great Phil Knight and how he helped Michael Jordan, because I know that that movie will turn into like one of those white savior movies. It's like a lock of the century. It's going to turn into one of those.
And it's the shoes that made him good.
Yeah, it's the shoes. It's not Michael Jordan himself. Good God.
I would watch it. I'll watch it once it becomes streaming somewhere, just because Ben Affleck is hilarious to me. I texted you this. I know for like he's good actor. He's like, you know, has done stuff. He's just so funny to me. Just his personal life. How public his personal life is. He just looks sad all the time.
See him at the Grammys?
Yeah. He just always looks bummed out.
He does.
And so him like wearing a big suit, acting like Phil Knight's hilarious.
I like it. I probably won't watch the movie, though. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, our Twitchers, our texters, our callers, and our tweeters. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. The Killer Bees are up next. Enjoy Super Bowl 57. And have yourselves a wonderful afternoon. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.